This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They look at the world so differently than you look at the world. The communist doesn't look at the world that way at all. The communist looks around, and at every decent thing, he thinks to himself, I wish I could eat it. I wish I could destroy it. I wish I could tear it down.
Is there any country in the modern world which is predominantly Islamic that shares those features? And the answer is no.
It's a problem, and it's something Kennedy and the people that have put in place in different departments in the HHS are trying to fix, but it's going to take a long time if it's ever repaired.
Let's talk about communists, who and what they are, and this is going to apply to, you know, people running for office currently in the country. Of course, they're pretending to be Democrats, but they're communists. But it's not going to be about specific things. We'll get to the specifics in a while. This is more of a general conversation between you and I about what are we dealing with? Who are we dealing with? Because when you look at these things, the things these people do and the things these people say and the things these people attack, it can almost be confusing. For example, let's go right to it. Abdul al-Sayed, the Democrat nominee for United States Senate in Michigan. And it's a coin flip on whether or not he's going to win. Okay. Democrat Senate, United States Senate in Michigan. All right. Yeah, he doesn't like fireworks. He came out and he actually said American football is connected to slavery. On the fireworks thing, I should note he's not alone. The lady who is possibly going to be the next governor of Wisconsin, she's certainly going to be the Democrat nominee. She also doesn't like fireworks. Also doesn't like Thanksgiving. Okay. What? On top of the other things he doesn't like, he also doesn't like this place. And by the way, I don't know how to say it because I've never been there. It looks like Mackinac, but I think it's pronounced Mackinac Island. I have many friends who have been there, and you know what they tell me about it? That it's paradise. It's this apparently sparkling, clean, safe town, no crime, good food. One of these, you feel like you're transported back into the best America you can possibly imagine type place. The kids can run around in the street. There's not going to be any animals attacking them. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is what Abdul al-Sayed thinks about it.
Please watch your step.
Oh, I hate Mackinac so much.
It's funny because, like, if we win, this is going to be the, like,
summer
home. I'm just going to be like, every time I've ever come here, I've hated it. Why am I here?
Why does he hate it? We don't have to dance around this. Why does he hate it? I just described it. Unbelievably safe, clean. It's also very white. And we've seen other things Abdul al-Sayed has said, and he's not a fan of white people.
And he and I were, you know, in the middle of nowhere in Michigan. I don't even remember what town we were in. We stopped at a rest stop, and he went inside to go to the bathroom, and I was outside just sort of pacing, checking my phone. And this guy starts walking up to me, and you know, big, burly guy, is driving a truck, and you know, fit a certain stereotype. And I'm like, oh God, where's my buddy?
Those stupid white truck drivers, huh? No Thanksgiving, no fireworks, no football, no Mackinac Island. What's the deal? They're destroyers. Communism is a religion. You may think that he is a Muslim, and he may or may not be, but he is a communist. And communists, they want to destroy and conquer everything. It is a religion of destruction and conquest. And so July 4th, the fireworks go up. What else is happening on July 4th? Because it's not just fireworks. What else is happening? Families, friends, they gather together. Community comes together and we celebrate America. Red, white, and blue. We went to the 4th of July Independence Day celebration in my small town this year, and it was all veterans and kids and church groups and everything you can imagine, and it was as American as apple pie, and the communist hates it because of that. It's not the noise. It's not the fact that the dog goes crazy. It's a celebration of the country he hates. It's an opportunity for community to come together, for families to love each other, spend time with each other, and the communist hates all of those things. Thanksgiving, Francesca Hong, Thanksgiving. I hate Thanksgiving. Why hate Thanksgiving? What in the world would be your axe to grind about Thanksgiving? The exact same thing. What happens on Thanksgiving? What do you do on Thanksgiving? You gather together with family and friends. You pray. You're grateful. You talk. Watch some football. Eat some dried out turkey and pretend it's good. Thanksgiving is good. And that's why the communist hates it. Football. Football brings people together. Countries have sports. They always have. Nations, large and small, always have sports. And one of the main reasons you have sports as a nation is it gives the people an opportunity to just come together. Come together. I'm rooting for red team. I'm rooting for blue team. That would be Roman chariot racing, in case you're wondering where I came up with that. And this is my team's jersey. And this is my team's jersey. And we're together. And oh, we lost. I'm sad. Oh, we won. It's the greatest thing ever. It's not nothing. It's important. It's how we come together. You notice they hate that too. It would be easier, I think, if you think about these people like sharks. You know anything about sharks? Obviously, we've all seen Jaws, and maybe you've tuned into Shark Week on Discovery Channel or something like that. But you know what's wild about sharks? It's crazy. Their brains are just wee teeny tiny, even the big ones. There's not a lot going on up there. It's just an eating machine. That's it. Whatever it's doing is either about mating or eating. They don't even sleep. For the most part, I think there may be some exceptions, but for the most part, they don't ever stop swimming. If they stop, they drown. It's the way their gills work. They don't sleep. They just prowl around at all times for their entire life. They'll cross the oceans just in search of something to destroy. That is exactly what communists are like. They think the exact same way. They look at the world so differently than you look at the world. When you look around at your community or your country or wherever you may be, there will be things that bother you. And what are those things that bother you? The parts of it that aren't great. Hey, we got a bunch of homeless guys on the corner here. Hey, there was a robbery down at this store here. Hey, that I just found out the school's been having some drug problems. You look at the problems of your community and you think to yourself, I wish I could fix that. I wish someone would fix that. I wish that would be fixed. That's the desire of your heart. The communist doesn't look at the world that way at all. The communist looks around and at every decent thing he thinks to himself, I wish I could eat it. I wish I could destroy it. I wish I could tear it down. He looks at the homeless, the drugs, the crime, and that's what he celebrates. And these people are conquerors. Here he is talking about Sharia law.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Question 755. When the state of Oklahoma voted in a referendum to amend the constitution to ban Sharia law, what does that mean? I don't know. And yet the voters banned it anyway. And I don't have to tell you that the same exact forces that drove native peoples from their land 2 centuries ago, destroyed Black Wall Street 1 century ago, bombed a building decades ago, and tried to ban Sharia law not a decade ago, that those forces are alive and well today.
When the Ayatollah of Iran was killed, he didn't want to say anything because some people might be offended.
Like, yeah. This is going to destabilize the region. I also want to remind you guys that there are a lot of people in Dearborn who are sad today.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, like, I just don't want to comment on Khamenei at all. Like, yeah. I don't think it's worth even touching that.
Now, let's give credit to Rashida Tlaib for really driving this point home. In 2019, she's stupid enough to get up on stage and be honest about it. Remember when I just told you these people are destroyers, these people are conquerors? Here she was.
Ilhan and I first got elected. You know, there were some folks saying, you know, we want more Muslims to get elected, so maybe, you know, tone it down. I know. I was trying to be nice.
It's my little sheet.
And she made a note, like, since we've gotten elected since 2019, 200 Muslims have been elected across the country.
Wow.
So we think about that for one moment. Is this the incredible movement? I know we were just part of it. We weren't the reason.
Conquerors. A religion of destruction and conquest. Now, how could we let this happen? Well, keep in mind, for white liberals, certainly white liberal women, America is evil. White people really are the height of evil. Western civilization is evil. And the greatest evil of all, it's racism. That's what they believe. There is no pedophilia, murder, whatever. For the white liberal, there is no greater sin than racism. So what happens? Foreigners flood into this country, usually foreign communists, and they use those values against the country, and they get white people, white liberals, I should say, to go out in droves and vote for them because nobody wants to feel like the racist. You don't believe me? Zohran Mamdani told you about it.
I think that with the interesting thing about our communities here is I think that minority communities, because we have never had representation, we are tied much more to identity. White communities, they've had representation forever. And so for them, their tie is a little less identity and a little more ideology. And so what I mean by that is we have a lot of voters here who think of themselves first as progressive voters. And mm-hmm. so we reach out to them speaking about our platform, our progressive platform. And you're very right that you need someone in the middle to be a validator, someone to tell them to trust us, believe in us. We've had that with Tiffany Caban and Cynthia Nixon.
They're just liars, conquerors, destroyers. That's who they are, and that's how they think. We'll talk to Nick Freitas about that in just a moment. Before we do that, speaking about foreigners, let's speak about your cell phone, your wireless company. When's the last time you got a hold of customer service? What did it sound like when you got a hold of customer service? Hello? I know that's what it sounded like. You know that's what it sounded like. Not me. Last time I had to get a hold of Pure Talk, I wanted to get a new phone. Mine was really, really old. It was 10 minutes on the phone. Speaking to a pleasant American, because Pure Talk is so patriotic, they have Americans working in customer service. That's what happens when a Vietnam veteran runs your wireless company. A fraction of the cost of the big guys. No contract, no cancellation fee. There's no reason not to switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. It's really wild to me, this whole Islam in Western civilization thing. And here's the part of it that's wild is any moron can look at what's happening and understand that it is a conquest. You can look at the entire continent of Europe. It is a conquest. That is clearly how enough of them see themselves. You see it happening in the United States of America. The stupid ones like Rashida Tlaib will come right out on video and say it's a conquest. And yet so many people seem to think we can wish that away. I bet Nick doesn't feel that way. Joining me now, Nick Freitas, host of Making the Argument podcast, now on the wonderful Blaze. And congrats to you, my brother, for that. Well, well deserved. Nick, a moron like me can see what is happening. Why do people pretend like it's not happening?
Oh, you're wrong. Barack Obama is 100% correct. Islam has always been a part of America. In fact, one of the first wars we ever had to fight is when the Barbary pirates were enslaving our sailors And we asked them, why are you doing this? We have no beef with the Barbary Pirates. Why are you doing this? Like, oh, it's simple. You're infidels. So yes, from the very founding of America, Islam has been a part of it as a hostile force to the United States.
Nick, it's hard not to see that it's all of Western civilization. Does this come back to, not to be such a history nerd about the whole thing, the Ottomans tried for God knows how long to continue their conquests well into Europe. And of course, they got a little foothold in there, but they were never able to do it. Is this just a continuation of the old Ottoman conquests?
Well, it's a continuation of the old Islamic conquest, because from the very beginning, going all the way back to the seventh century, Islam has always been about expansion through the sword and conversion, either forced conversion through the sword or living as a second-rate citizen. That's the reality. And again, you'll get these Islamic scholars that will try to moderate this version of history, but that's the fact. And the bottom line is that this shouldn't be that difficult to figure out. When you ask yourself a question, is Islam conducive to Western civilization? And Western civilization, we generally associate with a number of things, representative government, property rights, Christendom is heavily associated with the modern West. These are features, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. These are features of Western civilization. Okay, great. So now let's just ask the question, is there any country in the modern world which is predominantly Islamic that shares those features? And the answer is no, like not a single one. There's something like 51 to 53, depending on how you count it, Islamic nations in the world, and none of them bear any resemblance to what we would consider to be a Western republic or a Western democracy. So clearly this would lead anybody with, I don't know, half a brain and some degree of pattern recognition to come to the conclusion that there's something incompatible between these two systems. That doesn't mean that every individual Muslim is, you know, hostile to the West, but there can be no question that Islam, as a comprehensive worldview, doesn't produce the sort of civilizations, the sort of countries, the sort of societies that the West does. And so therefore, the mass migration of people that have diametrically opposed, I don't know, faith, social, political, and economic traditions might not be conducive to social harmony and a high trust society.
Nick, as long as we're on this, can you help us deconstruct a little bit the why on that? Because you can see, you mentioned Christian-based Western civilization. I don't give a crap about how offended people get. It was Christians who got Western civilization rolling, founded it, is so much freer than the Islamic parts of the world. Why? What explains that? What is the difference? Why does a Christian-based society automatically create freer people, and is an Islamic society is going to have tyranny and oppression? It just is. It's impossible not to notice it. Why?
Well, because Islam has a lot more prescriptions with respect to how your government should be organized, your economy should organize, your legal system should be organized. Christianity operates very differently. It doesn't mean it doesn't have anything to say with respect to those things. But first and foremost, Christianity does not allow you to proselytize through the sword. Now, people will say, oh, but Christians have done that. Yes, and it was heretical. You can't compel someone to be a Christian through the threat of violence or coercion. You can compel someone to do so in an Islamic culture. And to the extent where they talk about protections for maybe Jews or Christians, even then, it's very, very limited. And generally, those people are used as a tax farm, historically, within Islamic societies. So when you have one religion that says, yes, you're supposed to proselytize, you're supposed to try to convince people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you have to do so by convincing. And that's largely tied to your conduct and the way that you conduct yourself. In the Islamic world, that's not the case. You can be coerced into doing so. And if you don't, then again, you have to live as a second-class citizen, which will be taxed differently in order to feed the expansion of Islam. And so, again, we shouldn't be surprised when these two fundamentally different worldviews produced fundamentally different societies.
That brings me to the issue of immigration when it comes to this stuff. This clip of this teacher, if we're going to call him that, in Dearborn, Michigan. Here he was.
All this advancement in technology, yet they still haven't figured out that when you go to the bathroom, they're still wiping themselves with paper. All this advancement. Think about how advanced they've become. They're trying to go to Mars. They're trying to take over Saturn. They're trying to do all this stuff. Their cars are trying to be self-driven. Yet when they go to do the most lowest form of human nature, the call of nature, they are still wiping themselves and cleaning themselves with paper. They're uncivilized. Do not be tricked and deceived by their technology. Do not be tricked and deceived by their philosophies and their westernizations and their ideas. At the end of the day, they are still backwards. Allah has sent us to these nations to civilize them. That's why Allah has sent us, to civilize these people. Yet the media makes us look like the barbaric ones. The reason they don't want you to be successful is because they're jealous of what you have.
Nick, it's just so simple. You take that person and it's whole dirtball family, and you denaturalize them if they're citizens. If they're not, you just send them back to whatever dump they came from. It's so incredibly simple to take care of this problem, but we don't have the will.
Well, it's because we're jealous of them. Like he said, that's why you see people from Western nations flowing into Islamic ones just as quickly as we can get there. Oh, wait, no, you don't see that at all, as a matter of fact. With respect to what we do about it, yeah, I would say first things first. If you are coming from countries with diametrically opposed worldviews, diametrically opposed social, political, economic, faith traditions, et cetera, then yeah, we massively reduce immigration, if not completely cut it off, at least in the interim, right now, right off the bat, you stop the flow. Secondly, if you're in this country illegally, you get deported. If you're in this country legally, but you want to talk about hating and overthrowing the United States, then you immediately get sent home. If you've come to this country and you have legal status, we take away your legal status and send you home. If you've come to this country and you've actually gained citizenship, well, then yes, we need to start going through the process of denaturalizing people who are very explicit in calling for the violent overthrow of the United States. Hassan Piker should be denaturalized and sent back to Turkey. The whole reason why he is an American citizen is because his mom and dad flew over here specifically for the purpose of birthright tourism. Birthright citizenship tourism. Then they went back to Turkey. And now here he is doing what? It just constantly talking for the blood of his enemies to flow in the streets, how he hates the United States. This is a clear-cut case of someone who is actively advocating for the violent overthrow of the United States, violence against citizens who don't agree with him. Great. Denaturalize. Send home. Go somewhere else. Now, again, it's like, oh, he was born here. Okay, great. Well, we should have a process for denaturalizing them as well. This idea that you get to stay in the United States while advocating for violence against anybody who disagrees with you, at some point there has to be a punishment for that. If it's not denaturalized in the point of, because again, in all fairness to Hassan Piker, he was born here, right? Great. Well, then why aren't we investigating this guy with respect to ties to terrorism? And then we do have other people, like, again, somebody explained to me, well, Ilhan Omar, who, from everything I can tell, her father came here under false pretenses, and then it looks like she violated immigration law in order to get her brother over here. Okay, well, violation of immigration law is grounds for denaturalization, so why don't we do it? Well, you've had members of Congress that have actually wanted, hey, let's pull the documents, let's take a look at this, let's investigate this. And then you have other Republicans that want to shut it down because they're weak. They don't understand what time it is. Look, I don't want denaturalization to be the first response, right? I respect freedom of speech, and I respect that if you've gone through the process to become an American citizen, you are entitled to due process. But we can still do the due process. And if you violated it somewhere along the line, there should be consequences for that, whether it be penalties, whether it be fines, whether it be imprisonment, or in some cases, denaturalization. And with respect to Ilhan Omar, I would love nothing for us to go through the process, discover whether or not she violated immigration law, and if so, denaturalize and deport. She can go back to Somalia. She already says that's what she's here to do. She's here to represent Somalia. Great. Let's let her do it from a place that's a whole lot closer to home. How about that?
I'm glad you're on this, because this is a huge gripe I have with this Zohran Mamdani experiment in New York City. I know we love playing video of him. I do it too. You know, we talk about the new crazy commie thing he just said. But Zohran Mamdani's dirtball father got to the United States of America and became a communist street animal like 5 minutes after he got here, was publicly and very hard working against the interests of the United States of America. And I believe this is the 60s, 67, if I remember right. And so we have decades of nobody having the guts to take that scumbag and send him back home. And what's the end result of it? We have a communist Islamist running the biggest, most important city in the United States of America. It's not a Zohran Mamdani problem. It's an immigration problem that should have applied to his father, and we would have never had to deal with him.
Yeah. Well, and again, nothing about this is evil or mean or racist or xenophobic. It's none of those things. It's simply saying that every civilization has a right to be able to protect the very fundamental ideas and belief which made that civilization possible. And we are not required to invite a bunch of people that hate our civilization to come and enrich us. Right. So this whole idea with Barack Obama, it's like, oh, this has always been an enriching part of American history. Yeah, I've watched as Pakistani rape gangs enriched the UK. And I don't think Americans want it here. We're already seeing the problems that we have here. Again, do I know individual Muslims that I served with that I think are great people and patriotic Americans? Yes, I do. I do. Does that mean that Islam itself is conducive to Western civilization? No. One of the things that we used to understand that immigration requires assimilation if it is to be successful. Why? Because you are leaving something and you are coming to something else. If what you had was so great, you could have stayed there, but you didn't. You came here. And so your job should not be to come here to turn the place you fled to into the place you fled from. Unless, of course, you're not an immigrant, you're an invader. And those two things need to be seen very differently.
Nick, I can't let you go without playing you this video, which I'm sure you've seen, of this Yale professor. And I know this is a topic near and dear to your heart. And these people, look, the dumb ones will come out and just say it right there on camera. But here he was.
I've gotten in some hot water for proposing we consider overweighting the votes of younger people, or assigning the youngest eligible voters proxy votes for the unrepresented children of our country. So those are edgy.
Why not assign them to those children's parents?
Well, because there's a divergence of interest between parents and children. And I think it's likelier that young people, not people who are raising families, will have the best insight into the interests of children. Whereas you, if you were awarded five proxy
votes. I think
that's daft.
I think it's absurd to imagine that a 24-year-old recent college graduate has a better assessment of the interests of my own children than I do.
I say this with all due respect to
24-year-old recent college graduates, of whom I hope to be the parent of in 9 years or so.
I think parents generally confuse the interests of their family with the interests of their children. And part of our goal, I think, as parents, but also as a society, is trying to make sure that children aren't the hostages of their parents as much as we rely on parents to raise them.
No, they need to be the hostages of the state. They need to be the hostages of academia. They need to be the hostages of leftism. Right, that's the whole purpose that people like John Dewey tried to articulate is, no, the whole purpose of this state-run educational apparatus is to get kids away from their parents so that we can re-educate them in the way that this guy thinks that they should be re-educated. You want to know why he wants to give proxy votes? Here's what this comes down to. He wants to give additional voting power to children, right? Or to young people that just graduated college who will vote on behalf of children. Why? Because it's a lot easier to sell children on nonsense. It is a lot easier to sell children on leftist ideas of, oh, we're just going to make everything equal. We're just going to make everything better. How do you plan to do it? Oh, by vastly increasing the power of the coercive state and the bureaucracy. Well, that doesn't sound so great anymore. Now it sounds like you're actually going to deprive me of property rights. You're going to deprive me of freedoms. You're going to deprive me of the abilities to be able to make my own decisions with respect to how that I live my life. Yeah, but it's easier to sell that to children. And so that's why he wants to do it. That's why he wants. Here's the other reason why. And this is the dirty little secret on the left, right? They don't have enough children of their own to actually remain politically viable 20 years into the future. They are canceling themselves through abortion up till birth, till choosing not to have kids because it's going to destroy the environment, to deciding that marriage is oppressive. The very institutions necessary for healthy procreation and raising children into the future, the left does not possess it. And so they have to be politically viable some way. How do they do it? Well, if they don't have their own kids in order to transfer their values to, I guess they'll have to settle for yours. And the fact that I watch parents take out a second mortgage to send their children into the hands of people like this and then wonder what happened. Stop wondering. It is unfortunate, but so much of the American education system, from your public schools to your public universities to even the private ones, have become indoctrination centers. Why? Because left-wing socialist ideas are not actually competitive in free markets. They're only competitive in areas which are heavily subsidized, regulated, and funded by the government. That is where they're competitive. Because if they actually have to compete in the real world, people don't choose them. So they have to indoctrinate. And they have to indoctrinate your kids because they don't have enough of their own.
Nick, tell me about this Making the Argument podcast with The Blaze. Where can I get this?
Yeah, you can go onto Blaze TV and subscribe there. We're going to be featured on there. We're also going to be putting together some special projects that we're going to do exclusively for our Blaze audience. And then we still maintain all the channels that we did. One of the things that we loved about Blaze is when they asked us to come on, they didn't ask us to change what they were doing, and they didn't ask to take away anything that we were already providing for our audience. They just wanted to enhance it. So there's going to be additional stuff that you're going to be able to get on Blaze TV. You're going to be able to see us there. They're going to help us put stuff out more. We're still going to be available on our YouTube channel and everywhere else.
I can't wait. I'll talk to you soon, brother. All right. Going to talk to Jennifer Gilardi in a moment. Obviously, she's going to have some Fauci thoughts and other thing thoughts, but that leads me perfectly into my thoughts on all this stuff. You need to start taking some natural herbal supplements from Chalk because they'll make your life better. Whether you are a man, woman, young, old, natural herbal supplements, they should be part of your life every single day. It is every single day at breakfast. I wake up, male vitality stack from Chalk. Tomorrow, male vitality stack from Chalk. Why would I be so committed to something that for over 4 years I've taken it every single day? I feel so good all the time. Full of energy, ready to go all the time. Join me. No matter who you are, you'll love yourself for it. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Approximately 20,000 pregnant women have been vaccinated with no red flags, as we say, and this is being monitored by the CDC and the FDA.
It is recommended that pregnant women get vaccinated. So it's really one of those things that's kind of not a close call. It right. really is pretty clear that pregnant women should get vaccinated.
Importantly, no safety concerns were observed for people vaccinated in the third trimester safety concerns for their babies. As such, CDC recommends that pregnant people receive the COVID-19.
Pregnant people. That last part that kills me, pregnant people, these freaks. Joining me now, Jennifer Gilardi, senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation. Jennifer, it's one thing to screw up. Lord knows most people have screwed up, not me, but most people have screwed up in their life. It's another thing entirely to know that something is harmful, or at least potentially harmful, for a young mother and her baby, and to push it anyway. That goes from a whoopsie to, wow, you're a freaking demon.
I agree. Absolutely. Just, and the same thing, it's like, I had a straight face until they said pregnant people. It just goes to show you they're not right in the head. And you know, these Fauci diaries and these texts, they just keep getting better and better, or really worse and worse for Fauci, right? Not better for him, but as far as like revealing the truth, it gets better and better. The left's hero, the face of science itself, has proven himself to not only be extremely narcissistic, but totally duplicitous and an outright liar. And for what? To line his pockets and capitalize even more on a system that let him run rogue with a money laundering scheme, essentially, with gain of function, so he could play God. It's gross. And God bless Senator Paul for not letting this go.
Jennifer, I don't think it can be overstated the damage this has done with the trust the public has for public health officials. I mean, the public already didn't trust the government. That's been going on since Vietnam. All the poll numbers reflect that. But something like the CDC, that would have huge trust numbers before COVID. Now, I mean, CDC could come out today and tell me my next door neighbor has Ebola virus, and I would think they're lying.
It's right. It's a problem. And it's something Kennedy and the people that have put in place in different departments in the HHS are trying to fix. But it's going to take a long time if it's ever repaired. We need transparency. And like you said, COVID, I don't know. I understand it was traumatizing, but sometimes those things need to happen for, you know, the guy behind the screen to be revealed for what they really are. So in a way, it's a blessing in disguise. I don't dismiss the deaths. I don't dismiss the suffering, but we needed this. We needed this shakeup. We needed 2020, 2021. People woke up, and people woke up to, you know, something they've been asleep to, which was what's happening at the level of the federal government, and more so how much power they've accumulated over the years, how much power we've given the swamp, the deep state, whatever you want to call it.
Donald Trump made an announcement on vaccines that I can only imagine how much you enjoyed it. Here it was for those who missed it.
Far too long period of time, America's recommended more childhood vaccines than any peer nation, and even twice as many doses as some European countries, and even more than that. In many cases, we're requiring 72 jabs for our beautiful, healthy, lovely, delicate little children, including giving the hepatitis B shot to infants and newborns on top of many other vaccinations. The hepatitis B shouldn't be given until they are 14 or 15 years old. They were given early. Effective immediately, my administration is recognizing gold standard childhood vaccine recommendations for only 11 core vaccinations against the most serious and dangerous diseases, along with the MMR, which hopefully will be split up. You have the MMR. We want it in three separate vaccinations given at separate times.
Jennifer, okay, you are so much more wired into this area because you care about your health. I don't understand. I don't know. 72? I'm not that old. I'm 45. That was not a thing when I was a kid, and that wasn't a thing when my kids were kids, and they're only teenagers at this point in time. What happened?
Well, the big thing that happened, the big change, and even for between our time, I think we're same generation, at least Gen X and your kids, there were some increases, probably not to the level that they are now, but in 1984, the childhood vaccine prevention or safety act was passed, which essentially gave pharmaceutical companies and manufacturers of vaccines a liability shield. You couldn't sue them for damages. You couldn't sue them if anything went wrong. It created the VAERS database, which has been a disaster and not thorough and really not followed up on. So Secretary Kennedy and President Trump are really making good on the promise that MAHA has been asking for, not just since MAHA. A lot of these mothers have been pressing for information on vaccines and transparency and better research for decades now. And Trump is 100% on board, realigning the childhood vaccine schedule to reflect, like he said, the good data, and to stop handing over cash to the pharmaceutical companies, which is really what's happening. And, you know, Big Pharma is producing these vaccines at the expense of children's health and without question and without informed consent. So this also restores parental rights and parental control over what children get. You can still get all the vaccines. You want to shoot your kid up with 77 vaccines, you go for it. But they're saying you can space them out better. You don't have to. Now, states are going to have to decide. States still decide what the regulations for schools are, but they are going to hold to account states that don't include religious exemptions, reasonable medical exemptions, and like disability exemptions. So it's huge. It's a huge win for MAHA. It puts the wind back in the sails. They were kind of deflated after a couple things the past few months. So it is very exciting for those of us that wanted to see change.
Speaking of disabilities, AOC was making some waves. Well, this was her in a video.
Don't be weird about this, even though I know all of you will be. Okay. that wasn't so bad.
I have decided to start the process of freezing my eggs. Yeah. And in this political environment where this administration is denying reproductive care to women across the country, from abortion rights to the ability to carry out a healthy pregnancy, I think it's important for us as leaders to have these conversations and share these processes, especially for working women across the country, and normalize them.
You know, Jen, as soon as I saw the video, I thought to myself, my first instinct was, yeah, okay, whatever, women freeze their eggs all the time, no big deal, just, I don't see the problem, that's her own personal choice. And then it took like 5 seconds and it popped into my head, this has to be political for some reason. This isn't about having babies. She could have babies, she's a Latina. She could have babies, this isn't about that, this is about something else.
Yeah, I mean, she's like, don't be weird. I'm like, first of all, it's weird. You're showing yourself shooting up your process for harvesting your eggs. It's weird. Why do we need to make our personal lives so public? Like you said, I truly feel sometimes like we're living in the Truman Show. And like, can anyone just live in obscurity anymore? Can you not share your personal struggles? But like you said, there is no personal struggle here. She has a fiance that she's been dating for over 10 years. I don't know why they're not getting married, but you know, she is doing this to kind of run a president to say, hey, I'm running for 2028 and I still want a family. Like it's weird because she's doing this women's empowerment and it's not empowering. What's empowering is to be honest with women about health and the financial toll this will have on women and their families. And it can be burdensome. It can be brutal. And she's glamorizing it, right? For political gain. And it's weird because I think like, oh, in the past 4 years, she was like, don't have babies, climate change. This is not the time to bring babies into the world. And all of a sudden, she's like pro-family. And it's just a political move. The truth is, we can't out-nature Mother Nature, or we can't outrun Father Time. And the fact is, if she tries to have babies in her 40s, it's likely not going to work. So clearly, it's, you know, I don't even know if she wants to have a family. But there's so much hypocrisy and kind of shadow stuff going on here. I just, it kind of makes everything she's been doing is like such a sham right now.
Maybe she's worried her baby's going to be a ginger because her fiance is a ginger. Would you want a ginger?
You take them as they come, Jesse. You go with what God gives you.
Well, I'd give them up for adoption. Thanks, Jen. I appreciate it. Come back soon. Lighten the mood. Next. It's important to maintain some sort of physical condition. And I'm not saying we all have to be CrossFit types or something like that. I'm most definitely not. Not some Greek god workout freak, but some level of physical activity at all times. It's really, really important. It's not just for your health. Here's why. You never know. I never know when you may be called upon to perform some sort of a physical task, whatever that task may be, a physical task. And if you have not maintained any kind of activity in your lifestyle, you may be unable in that moment to perform even the most basic physical tasks. You want to see what that looks like in real life? Do you want this to be you? Look at this. I would thank you for coming to my YouTube channel, but I know how brilliant it is, and I know you love it here. So subscribe and watch. We're going to start really ramping things up and putting some funny stuff, some interesting stuff out there, some collaborations. Either way, my YouTube channel is officially the place to be. So stick around.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.